Good evening, Psalm 140. We'll go from Psalm 140 to Psalm 144. The rest of the Alleluia Psalms, the last six, we'll do them, we'll take them up next week if God wills. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your holy word, we pray we'd meet with you in a very real way. We don't want to know Psalms for the sake of knowing Psalms, Lord. We want to know Psalms for the sake of drawing closer to you. So we pray that you bless to that, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 140, and by the way, these are all Psalms of David. This is to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have proposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have gins for me, Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves, Selah. As for me, the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Pretty straightforward. A couple of things we want to observe here. He starts out praying for deliverance from the evil man and from the violent man. They imagine mischiefs in their heart continually. They are gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Couple points here. One, you thought that was Romans 3 invention of Paul, but he takes David's words and he expounds on them in Romans 3. I hope it writes to Romans 4. To Romans 3. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Here, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. So you can't find a place in Scripture in the Old Testament where it says all these things. By the way, let me continue. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So he's talking about the fact that, you know, people always, you talk to people and say, hey, I'm a good guy. You know, like the idea, I've earned heaven by my goodness. Paul's comments in Romans, there is no one good. There's no one who's righteous. There's no one who's going to make it to heaven on their own. And he doesn't quote that in one place in Scripture. It's kind of an amalgam of many verses and many parts of verses he pulls together. But that's all scriptural. It's none of it's like made up in Paul's imagination. He's quoting among other places here. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent's adder. Poison is under their lips. Selah. Now, the last time he used the word Selah, and I want to talk about this briefly, was in Psalm 90. This is Psalm 140. That was 50 Psalms ago. Why hasn't he used Selah in 50 Psalms? Or any of the Psalm writers? Don't know. But I thought it would be a good place to revisit Selah, which I think he says three times. Yeah, three times in this psalm. It's kind of a pause. Some think it's a musical direction, like, you know, if you're reading music and you come on a rest, you skip that beat. You hold the beat before it for like two beats, or you skip it's a musical notation. And if you're a piano player or playing a cello or whatever, it directs you how to play. And some people think that's what it is. I think it's a thought connector. It's still a rest, a musical rest. Think about this, and it kind of connects the last thought with the next thought. Or stop. Don't run through this. Reflect on it. Kind of meditate over it for a second. I think that's what the Selah means. Verse 4, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent men who have proposed to overthrow my goings. Now look at the traps they've laid for him. The proud have hit a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah, think about that. There's all these traps out here. I can hardly take a step without, you know, falling prey to, you know, putting my foot in a bear trap, a snare. Next thing I know, I'm hanging upside down from a tree. And he feels this way. Of course, I would imagine they're not real traps, but it's a metaphor for, you know, I don't know if you feel like this, because I feel like this, like I'm just walking along fat, dumb, and happy, minding my own business, and all of a sudden, there's an attack, a spiritual attack, one way or another, that would test my faith, that would try to cause me to sin, that would trip me up. I'm in the pilgrim walk. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, aren't you? And then in our pilgrim way, in our journey, we're not looking for any trouble. Trouble comes looking for us in the form of Satan's trying to trip us up. He's trying to catch our foot in a snare. He's trying to ensnare us, trap us, get us to forsake faith in God ultimately. But if not, at least fall flat on our face for a moment or two. And I see this is happening. We have an adversary. He's like a roaring lion. He would devour us if he could. And the reason he hasn't thus far is God hasn't let him. Praise God. God knows how to deliver us from his hand. And he knows how to deliver David. And that's the opening word in the psalm. Deliver me, O Lord. Keep me is what he's saying in verse 4. They're out to get me is the idea. You know, is David paranoid? No, he's in a position of power, uneasy as the head that bears the crown. But beyond all that, you know, if you're a man of God or a woman of God, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You should know that. And again, we have a roaring lion adversary. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. If you think about it, David's illustrious career, you hardly think how he's defeated giants, defeated Saul, won at Ziklag, his family and all his stuff was captured while they're away fighting the Lord's wars. But he recovered it all. Think of all the many things that he went through. Of course God was his strength. Of course God was protecting him. Of course God was, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Otherwise you gotta think that this man's luckier than lucky than, you know. Well, it's not a question of luck. It's a question of we put our faith in God. We're not living on borrowed time. We're not skating on thin ice. We're not, you know, David talked about it, you know, it was a hair's breadth between him and death. But that was when his faith was at a low ebb, I would say. And I'll give him a hall pass. I hadn't been through half the things he's been through. But we have the same adversary. He had it mostly in the form of men. At least you can see men. You can't see a snare or a gin or a net that they have spread for you. You can't. That's the whole purpose. They're attacks by subterfuge, and by the way, very unmanly. But that's how Satan is. He sneaks up on you. It's not a fair fight ever. He gets you at your low point when you're sick. When, you know, he's always trying to look for a way to, you know, get in, make inroads into your life. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Indeed. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. Think about that. They're gonna get ahead and win, and they're gonna think like, okay, this is easy. God doesn't see, and I'm getting away with stuff. That's the problem, if you ask me. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Amen. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Again, imprecatory in nature. I pray things like this, metaphorically. You know, the ones whose evil counsel will come to nothing. I was praying all kinds of imprecatory prayers a couple weeks ago. We had a town of Augusta. Our beloved governess came up with the most wicked, ungodly bill, maybe in the history of America. And thousands came out against it, but she had a handful of people on her team. 9 months of abortion with no restrictions, whatever. Wicked, wicked, godless, wicked. And I was praying that, you know, axles would fall off cars and people would get flats and they would be too embarrassed to testify. And it, none of those things happened as far as I knew. But what did happen was that there was very few of them and there was very, very many of us. And I thought, you know, even somebody who's a main state legislator could count. And they have to understand they have an election in next year or 2 years or whatever. And they would have to assume that, boy, if I look at the numbers, I don't know how for this bill I actually am. We'll see how it plays out. Keep praying. So I was praying burning coals and deep pits and all manner of evil. Metaphorically, I don't want anyone to die or be hurt, but I do want their lying lips to come to nothing. I do want that. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. I wish all of our politicians knew that. I know it. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. So at the end of it, it all comes right. We're going to be proved right, and the unrighteous is going to be proved wrong. Surely the right shall give thanks unto thy name. This is lemon lime sparkling seltzer water, in case you're wondering if you thought it was an adult beverage or something, which I do not drink at all. But I'm parched as I talk. I got to keep hydrated. Okay, Psalm 141. Again, it's a Psalm of David. And it's a call for deliverance. Again, Lord, I cry unto thee. It's 10 verses. So I'm going to read and we'll go over it. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But my eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while that I withal escape. Okay, it starts out a little different here. He's like full of some self-examination before he's saying, okay, God, get him. He said, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. We got to know in our hearts and establish that God is listening to us, that he cares about us. We wouldn't pray to him if we didn't think he loved us or that he was listening. Verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Prayer and lifting up hands are several places put together in Scripture. You know, we very, very often worship with our hands raised. I have no problem with that. I do that my own self very often. But I don't see that as a scriptural command anywhere, except that when we sing songs to the Lord, what is that? It's prayer set to music. You know, in that case, then lift up holy hands, sure. But here he's talking about lifting up his hands. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Prayer is incense is a type. It's typologically prayer. And they burned incense in the morning and in the evening. And it was like a symbol of constant prayer. And he's saying, and the lifting up of my hands is the evening sacrifice. So they would have a sacrifice every morning and evening as well. And he's saying, that's my offering to you. That's my worship to you. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to lie. I don't want to say anything that's not so. I don't want to speak unjustly. I don't want, if I could take back everything I ever said that was wrong, boy, I'd love to do that. I think at the end of it all, I don't know that I'll be more sad about the things that I said that I shouldn't have, or the things that I didn't say that I should have. Either way, you know, we've got this great opportunity to speak, and we blow it very often on foolishness, on wicked words. And he's saying, Lord, you know, help me to watch, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to evil, any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. Lord, I don't want to be like other men. I don't want to be like the, wicked men. I don't want to help me, Lord. Change my heart as ways. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Why wouldn't we be totally honest with God? You know, we're not going to impress him. You know, sometimes you're asked in a public place to say the blessing, and immediately we start out with our King James, thou, O Lord, art an amazing God, and that's fine if that's how you normally and naturally pray. But, you know, I kind of think, like, when I pray in the privacy of my own old vehicle, my prayer closet rolls down the road very often. I don't know about you, but I use that time to pray a lot, and probably you do too. I total honesty, why not? He sees right through us anyway. Why would you pull out your King James prayers, I call them? I don't know. Lord, I have a heart that's sin sick. I have a tendency towards evil. When people give me a hard time, Lord, I want in the worst way to say and do, and God's saying, I don't want that, Adam. Vengeance isn't yours. Let me not eat of their dainties. I don't want to fellowship with them. I don't want to hang with them. I don't want to be one of the guys, I think is what he's saying here. Now, in kind of contradistinction to that, in contrast to that, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. You know, if a righteous guy tells me I'm messing up, and it's a kindness. Anyone who reproves me, that's a good thing. So when somebody reproves us, and I tell you, I have a hard time with compliments. The hard thing is sometimes I would believe them. And I know that, you know, when I teach God's word, it's God's word. It's the word. The life is in the word, not my presentation, not my great mind or my wonderful illustrations or my, the seed is in the word. If you grow, if you take it in, if you learn it, if you, it takes you to the place where God wants you to be, praise God. So people say kind things to me sometimes, and I don't do real well. And then people say bad things to me sometimes, and I don't do real well. When somebody says to you something, a criticism, take it at face value and think about it and pray it through. First thing, it always hurts our little feelings. I'm sorry, but it does. To me, I take things seriously, and people say, oh, you know, you're this, you're that. And I'm like, I don't know. And I take it right to heart. And maybe they're right. So, you know, give people a benefit of the doubt, and maybe they're helping you. Maybe they're helping you see something that you should know. Not everyone says everything. It didn't all come from the throne room of God. Some people just are critical no matter what you do. But the righteous, if they smite me, if they reprove me, that's excellent oil. That's an anointing from God is what that's saying. And I agree with that. It's not pleasant, but it's necessary and it's very good. Eventually you'll come around and thinking, yeah, that was a blessing. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, like, yeah, God, throw their judges off a cliff, is kind of what some people think that means, but others say it's very hard to translate. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. Again, another verse that's very hard to translate. But imagine bones scattered at the grave's mouth, not buried, which is calamitous in the minds of an Israelite, that their body would be left to the birds, is the idea. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Okay, we got snares and gins again. And then in verse 10, let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. Again, God had answered his prayer his whole life. Gins, snares, nets. I know, David, I'm feeling you. I feel that way sometimes. Life tries to trip us up. Psalm 142, one of my favorites. It's short. It's only seven verses. It's a maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Now, Adullam, or I can't remember the other one, En Gedi. There's several caves that David spent time in. This is a song for cavemen. When you're in the cave, cold, dark, lonely, desolate, I think that's a closer place to the throne room of God than a palace. In a palace, it's, I guess a palace could be a prayer closet. But look. Oh Lord, bless me with riches and, oh yeah, that's right, you already have. Oh Lord, deliver me from mine enemies. Oh, no enemies here. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when everything's going good for you, my thinking is that's the hard time to practice, to keep spiritual discipline. When you feel overwhelmed, when you're in a cave, when your enemy is trying to kill you, when you're being lied about, when you're suffering and you haven't done anything wrong. It's a time when you don't have time for foolishness and sin and playing games with the Lord, and you're just, Lord, here I am. Okay, this is, and a maskil means instruction. So David is instructing us here. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Again, just that honesty, that this complaint here, trouble, and he's just pouring out it all before the Lord. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walk, have they privily laid a snare for me. Privily is private, but evil. It's things being done in a secret way to your detriment. I walk in the way wherein I walk, they have privily laid a snare for me. So in three Psalms so far, they're trying to trip him up. Welcome to Christianity. And I don't mean that in a negative, depresso kind of, you know, way. It's just, it's reality, and we should be aware of it. We're constantly trying to be tripped up. And by the way, when that happens, and I'm not saying if, I'm saying when, because you're probably like me, and it's only a matter of time, you mess up, what do? We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know someone is listening and they're harder on themselves than God is on them. I understand that. But don't be. God's not, oh, I can't believe it, I got a lemon. I thought I had so much faith in this one. I didn't think they could act this way. We might be disappointed in us. I don't think God's disappointed in us. For him to be really disappointed, there has to be an element of surprise in that. Like he didn't see it coming. And guess what? He did. Get back in fellowship right away. Why beat yourself up and waste all that energy on negative kind of things? Okay, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. All alone. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? No. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. No one, there was no man, but there was always God. And he's saying, and he sees this. Okay, he's in the cave, and has anyone come to him at this juncture? Has his family showed up? Is anyone there to rescue him, to help him? I guess not. He looks to his right hand. No man cared for my soul. So what does he do? He does what any man or woman of God should do. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. My portion is my, you think of a portion like my piece of the pie, my, you know, I get, this is my slice. But it means more than that. It means all that I want. Because look, when I buy a pie, pizza, strawberry, rhubarb, apple, I can eat the whole thing. Okay. You understand? I mean, if it's mine, it's mine. I can buy two pizzas. All right. And I say, here, honey, you have your pizza. I got my pizza. And I have the whole thing. I have as much as I want. And that's what he's saying when he calls God his portion. You're all that I want. And I think that's a good thing for us to, he's not only our refuge, our shelter in the storm, right? But he's all that we want. If we have him, we have everything. If we don't have him, we have nothing. We have snares and gins and violent men and critical people and everyone just trying to mess us up. But we have the Lord and we have all we want. That's what David's saying. And I'm saying, Amen. You tell him, Dave. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. My persecutors are not flesh and blood. They're principalities. Now, God has given me victory over them. But physically, you know, mano a mano, face to face, a duel, fisticuffs, close range. No, I don't fight. I don't sally forth with my sword drawn and go out to do spiritual battle. I have the Spirit of God in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And God has given me the victory. But it's not a my own might, my own strength. It doesn't work that way. And we got to understand that it doesn't work that way. My persecutors are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Bring me out of prison. He's in prison? I didn't know anything about that in the life of... I think he's in the prison of despair, in the slough of despond, if you want to use a Pilgrim's Progress reference. The prison is like, you know, God comes to set the captive free. Well, they're not necessarily in prison. It's not jailbreak. It's freedom from... You know, sin is very enslaving, and I think sometimes our thoughts are. The prison that we're in is of our own construction, our own mind. And I don't care if it's physical or spiritual or allegorical. I don't want any prison in any portion or any part of my life. And my prayer is like David's, deliver me. Psalm 143, hear my prayer. This is a Psalm of David. I said they were all Psalms of David tonight. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. Wonderful. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Obviously. I mean, it should be obvious to all of us. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground, he hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. It's very sad, he seems very stricken. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. This is remembrance. This is meditation. This is one of our spiritual disciplines. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Good place for a drink. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Lord, if you don't show up and strengthen me right now, I'm falling. I'm not going to make it through. There's desperation here. Desperate men pray desperate prayers. I don't know how we keep the desperation going. Sometimes it's obvious we're in a desperate situation. I always want to pray like I'm in a desperate situation, but I don't want to be in a desperate situation. I don't want to live in always being attacked, always being between a rock and a hard place. You know, how do we keep the intense prayer going? I think if we just understand who we are and how needy we are and how in our own strength, how insufficient we are for victory. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. Quicken me means give me life. O King James word, I think we know that. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Again, imprecatory in nature. If you struggle with that, just think in terms of like, and I say this pretty often, I think we should know this by now, but think in terms of like our enemies are not flesh and blood. When it's talking about our enemies, if you have somebody's picture in your mind, get rid of that. That's silly. Maybe there are people who are against us, but those are just people who need to know God's mercy and God's love. Those are people we should be praying for. I don't pray for Satan, you know what I mean? The sooner God sends him into the lake of fire, the happier I'll be. But, you know, even political people who are really ruining my country that I care about very deeply, I don't pray for their demise. I really don't. I think they need to know and love Jesus Christ. But again, you know, when we talk about this imprecatory praying, I certainly do that. But again, it's pointed at principalities and powers and spiritual rulers, dark forces, which, by the way, they're the puppet masters who are pulling the strings of all these guys who are getting me upset politically anyway. Okay, Psalm 145, last one, Psalm of David, last one tonight. We have one more study in Psalms. We'll finish next week. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Praise God. Men are made for war. Spiritual war. I'm a man of peace, you say. Yeah, but our adversary isn't. We either learn how to war right or we just get pummeled all the time. And then we're really in a prison. He doesn't set his captives free. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdued my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Kind of reminds you of Psalm 8 there. Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters, for the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Wow, right? I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, while I sing praise unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished at the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our street, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, and there be no complaining in our streets. In a word, bless me. We don't want our garners full, but we want a full pantry, and a full freezer and a full, you know, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Yeah. Yeah. We want our children to have success. Our daughters be as polished stones after the similitude of a palace. Sure. That our oxen may be strong to labor. I don't care if you're praying over your Jeep truck, or I don't care if you're praying over your backhoe or your mower, you know, give us our implements. We want to preserve them, Lord, that all things go well with us. And he ends up that there be no complaining in our streets. Would to God that were America in the 21st century. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Okay, so next week we'll finish the six, what's called the Hallelujah Psalms, and that'll be that. So let's just pray, Father, your blessings on your word. Again, strengthen us that we might encounter you in your word, Lord, that we may draw closer to you. Lord, bless all those who have taken the time to listen, to learn. It's your word. What else can be said? And it's good. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace.